Welcome to your Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brandt, and I'm joined by Mike Levin. Mike, how are you doing?
What's going on, Ben? Thanks for having me.
Well, Mike, it's good that we're able to get to talk during the off season before we get to jump into our regular show during the year, so I'm excited about that, and I'm excited to have you on one of our shows. I know that you do some exterior podcasting, so why don't you tell us where and where you can be found on Twitter?
So I podcast for fantasyassembly.com, but I just joined Friends with Fantasy Benefits about a couple of weeks ago, and I like everything you guys do, so I wanted to be a part of it. And I know the Marlins aren't the greatest team to start with, but we'll figure out something to talk about here. If you're listening, you can follow me on Twitter at MikeTheRotoCop, and let's see where it takes us.
And I can be found at BBrennisFWFB. Mike, like you said, we're going to be talking about the Marlins. They're basically a massive dumpster fire on the go, and they could get even worse before the start of the season. But why don't we try to start talking about some of the fantasy relevant players that are on the team. We'll start with the outfield. Christian Yelich is really the biggest player that they have on their team, and obviously he really is going to have no supporting cast like what he had last year, where he had a relatively decent offense, and this year is going to be a shadow of that. But what are your thoughts on Yelich for this season?
I mean, I love him as a player like everybody else does, but it was a little weird to me that everybody had career years last year, Ozuna, Stanton, Gordon, and you can make the case that he had a little bit of a down year. I think his home runs and RBI total was down about 15 while everyone else was producing in the lineup. So I think what we're going to see from him is in between his great 2016 and not so great 2017 for his standards. Maybe he'll finish around 290, 2085 with 10 swipes. So, I mean, he's still going to be a very valuable player to anybody who has him. I'm a big fan of the kid. What about you?
I like Yelich. Last year he had 16 stolen bases, and he had single digits the year before, so I think he could be around 13 to 14. I still would like to see him be able to consistently hit 20 to 25 home runs. But he scored 100 runs last year. I don't think that's going to be possible with the team built around him this year, but he is hitting second in the lineup according to Roster Resource. So there's a decent chance that he could come close to 100 runs if he actually hits 300. If he hits last year at the 282 clip, I think it's probably closer to like 85 or so runs. But he's probably only going to have like 70 to 80 RBIs again because of where he's hitting and because of how often someone could actually be on base. So I like Yelich, but this is going to be a tough situation for him because of all the players that they traded away.
It definitely is. If he finishes 20-80 with 10 swipes and an average around 285, I'll definitely take that from him this year.
Yeah, so would I, because he's someone who's probably going to get you around 600 bats, so you know he's going to be in the lineup a lot. And there's going to be some other fantasy relevant players on this team. I mean, you still have Justin Bour if he can be healthy, Starlin Castro, Realmuto. If Prado could be healthy, he could be a decent player. Magnarius Sierra could actually play this year, and he could have some stolen bases, which could push Realmuto down to a two-hole and Yelich down to a three. So there's options that they have. It just really depends on how the team looks once the beginning of the season, because we know that the team is trying to slash payroll as easy as possible, so they could make some other moves before the season actually starts. So we'll see what happens.
And listen, he might not even be there, so we might be talking about him on a different team where his numbers could be a lot better than they would be with this team, so we'll see what happens with that.
Exactly. Some of the other players that they're pegging to play in the outfield as of right now are Derek Dietrich in right and Martin Prado on the left. Of these two, we both are a fan of Prado. What do we expect from him this year? Do we think that he'll actually be healthy for the whole year or can actually provide some decent deep league roster fantasy relevance?
Man, people forget about Martin Prado. 2016, he had 305 and he had 75 RBIs. He had more RBIs than strikeouts. He only struck out 69 times. I mean, the dude never strikes out. So when he's healthy, he's getting on base. And Dietrich, the guy's an animal. I mean, I don't know if you've seen him rip his shirt off. He's done it a couple of times. The guy's huge. He He had 400 at bats last year. He still hit his 13 homers, 50 RBIs. So, I mean, you could stretch that out. He has a hard time hitting lefties, but I'll take Prado over Dietz. But both those guys really aren't that bad. You could do a lot worse, especially with the shape that this team's in. You could do a lot worse than Martin Prado and Derek Dietrich.
Exactly. I would like to be able to see Prado provide some value similar to what he had in 2016 of having 70 runs, 75 RBIs, and, you know, maybe 10 home runs. If he's able to hit like 280, it's at least someone who you can use as a corner infielder or a utility guy in the deep league. He's had the ability of being useful, and Derek Dietrich has the ability to be a average fantasy player, someone that you can at least roster on your team, especially if he's hitting, you know, 13 home runs and 58 RBIs and runs and 400 at bats. It would be nice if he's able to improve that average a little bit, but, you know, he could end up getting platooned a little bit more this year, which may bring that average up. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, don't sleep on Derek Dietrich. If he gets his at-bats, he's really not a bad hitter. He definitely could drive the ball over the field, so we'll see what happens with that.
What are your thoughts on if Magnerio Sierra plays this year?
This guy's tricky to me because he has no power at all. That's pretty evident. He had 60 at-bats last season in the majors. When he wasn't even supposed to be in the majors, he wasn't ready, and he still hit .317. So, I mean, this guy hits everywhere he goes. It's just there's no power along with it. I mean, they got him in the Ozuna deal. He's 21 years old. He's not really rosterable because he just has no extra base hits, no power at all. But he's a singles hitter. I mean, and that's the best thing for the Marlins right now. They need people to get on base.
And he has some good speed, and hopefully he's into a situation where they'd allow him to run. I mean, they let D. Gordon run, and Yelich can run, and Ozuna has and such, but we'll see what they actually allow this upcoming season, given the fact that Sierra could be so young, and they may only bring him up for sporadic events like the Cardinals did last year. So we'll end up seeing what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too hot on Sierra, but I mean, the guy gets on base. You can't deny him.
Exactly. Why don't we move into the infield, and let's talk about the first and second baseman, Justin Bourne, Starlin Castro. Those two players both have the ability to have good fantasy seasons, provided that they stay healthy. What are your thoughts on Castro and Bourne?
I remember having Castro when he first came up with the Cubs a long time ago now, and I thought he was like the next big thing. He kind of slowed down a little bit, now kind of revived his career. Had a great year last year, but without the protection of the Yankee lineup when everyone was just doing great, now he's coming over the Marlins. I think there's going to be a little bit of regression. I still have him projected at – he'll still have his 150 hits, hit 280. Maybe won't hit 16 homers again. Maybe that number will be down to, say, around 12. RBIs will be around 55, 60. He doesn't steal bases. I'm not too hot on Castro. I think I'm going to stay away from him as much as I can. Bohr, on the other hand, this guy just drops bombs. I was in Miami for the home run derby this past season, and seeing this guy in batting practice, he's like an all-American. You could just see him with the bandana on, just hitting bomb after bomb after bomb. It was great. I mean, the guy hit 23 homers in his rookie season in 2015. Comes back last year, it's 25 homers and 429 at-bats. He didn't even play the full year. So this guy's ceiling, I mean, he's going to be their power hitter. So maybe he hits 30 homers this year. What do you think?
I think he's able to provide that he stays healthy. But we've seen over the past couple of years that he doesn't always do it. But he's done well with basically no protection behind him in the lineup because of where they've batted him. And I think it would be good for him to come in into a situation like this where they're kind of going to need his power. He's their best power hitter. He's their best RBI producer. So he's going to be put into a spot of the lineup where they could actually have some protection behind him. If he's able to stay healthy, I could easily see him hitting 30 home runs and possibly getting 100 RBIs because of the skill set that he has. But it also depends on if the players that have him in Real Muto and Yelich are actually on base consistently.
Yeah, and no, go ahead.
I don't know if he'll hit 289 again, but I think he has the capability of being a 270 to 280 hitter pretty consistently because of how he has played the game. And I think that it's going to be something that will be a benefit to him, and fantasy owners will find him as a fantasy relevant first baseman as opposed to a corner infielder or anything like that that they may have drafted him last year because of the fact that he has power and he has average ability.
Yeah, and I said he had 429 at-bats. I meant to say 429 plate appearances. He had 377 at-bats. He only had 109 hits last year, and 25 of them went for homers. So this guy's homering one out of every four times he hits a baseball, which is crazy to me. But the 289 might be spiked a little high. I could see around the 270, 275, but he hits 30 bombs, and I don't know, about 100 RBIs on that team, but somewhere close to it. He's definitely going to be fantasy relevant for sure.
And as for me, I'm still a Casho fan in certain leagues because I play in four leagues that are 16 to 20 teams deep. So in a league like that, you're going to need him. In a regular league in which it's maybe 10 or 12 teams, Casho could be a bench player. He could be a utility player, but he's someone that I'm not looking to go out and try to acquire probably where his draft price is. I think I would try to draft him a little lower, maybe like 20, 30 spots lower than where he's actually going into drafts. But we'll see what he's able to do because you saw what he's able to do as at the early parts of the season for the Yankees over the last few years as a quote-unquote focal point. Maybe he's actually able to sustain it now down in Miami. Doubtful, but it's possible.
Yeah, if he ran a little bit more, I would be all for it, but I mean the days of him stealing, he was once stealing 25 bases, 22 bases in 2011, and now 2017 he ran two times the whole year, so that kind of makes me shy away from him a little bit. But if he ran, maybe something will happen where he decides he wants to run again. Maybe the Marlins give him the green light, try and create runners on base. So we'll see what happens.
And why don't we look on the other side of the infield, which to me doesn't bring any fantasy relevance, or at least not much during the year. That's Brian Anderson at third and JT Riddle at short. What are your thoughts on these two players?
I mean, off the top of my head here, I might be missing one or two, but this has got to be two of the worst infielders in the National League, at least. I mean, Anderson could surprise people, but I'm done with Riddle. I'm not even going to give him a chance. That might be naive of me, but I'm going to stay away from him. Anderson, I mean, the kid could hit. He had 339 in 33 Triple-A games last year and came up. He had 84 at-bats in the majors, hit 262, so he could hit a little bit. I don't love what I see as far as technically from him, but I think he might be able to surprise some people just because he'll hit that for the high average. The verdict's to be out on him for me. What do you think about him?
You know, I'm not that big of a fan of him because I just can't see how they're able to develop him in this type of situation and actually expect him to succeed. I think they're going to be thrusting him into a situation where it's going to be tough for him. He's not going to get a ton of it useful at bats, and it's not going to help his psyche, I don't believe. So I would personally avoid this entire side of the infield if I were drafting. And if I was trying to do a dynasty league, I guess I could take a prospective dart throw at him in a startup just to see if anything comes of it. But I'm not looking to acquire him in dynasty leagues I'm already in where I can make a trade for him or anything of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, he played 25 games last year for the Marlins at zero home runs and eight RBIs. I'll stay away until he proves me otherwise.
Why don't we talk about the catcher? That's probably their second most fantasy relevant player on this entire team. That's JT Realmuto, who also wants out of Miami, but he doesn't have a lot of leverage because he's still in arbitration. What are your thoughts on Realmuto?
I mean, I love this guy. I might love him a little bit more than most. I was doing my catcher rankings the other day, and I had him at number 3 ahead of Buster Posey. How do you feel about that?
It can be aggressive, but it really depends on how Posey continues to get utilized. I own Posey in a deep league, and it's a dynasty league. And the value is that he's able to play so much, and he hits for such a high average. He doesn't have a ton of power anymore, and he doesn't always get a ton of RBIs because of how bad the Giants' offense has been at certain times over the last few years. But Real Muto does run. He has hit for power. He has improved over the last few years. He's going to be pointing to a situation where he's going to have more RBIs and more runs this year. So you could see those numbers creeping up closer to 75 to 80. So I think that would not be completely out of the realm of possibility that he does beat Posey on the player radar this year and having him ranked ahead of that support set.
And it might be a case of there are a couple guys in the league I personally feel like when they're out, because I own Posey in a dynasty league, and I feel like every time I watch the guy, he's either getting a single or doing nothing. And every time I watch Real Muto, this guy's doing everything. So Real Muto's, he's definitely on the rise even still, because the last three seasons, his numbers have gone up in literally every single possible stat, games, plate appearances, at-bats, runs, hits went down, was down from 2017 to 2016, but everything else, home runs, RBIs. I mean, this guy's, he does everything. He really does everything at the catcher position, which not many people do. I mean, there's only like seven or eight catchers I'm even willing to be comfortable throwing out there. So Real Muto is definitely top three or four for me.
Yeah, I think that he is someone who's going to give you decent fantasy value this year, and I would look to draft him early. I'm not a player who goes and tries to draft the catcher early. I'm the type of guy who likes to try to acquire them in a dynasty league, and when it's a redraft, I kind of wait until after the top five have gone, unless there's someone who's fallen and I can get some good value out of it. So,
see, I'm kind of the opposite. I like having that catcher solidified, because to me that's an advantage I have over everybody else. If I could get one of those three or four guys, then I have the advantage over, say, eight other teams or how many of our other teams. To each his own.
Finally, talk about the pitching side of things, which it's even more disastrous over here than it has been over the last couple of seasons. Their best pitcher is probably Dan Straley, and I'm a big Straley fan, as people have heard on the podcast over the last year, but I'm not really sure if, given the fact that this offense has got so much worse than the last year, if any player, any pitcher is going to be fantasy relevant, because there's just not going to be a ton of wins for these players. So what are your thoughts on Dan Straley?
See, I had Al Melchior from FanRag Sports on my podcast. It was probably like a month and a half ago, and this was before they traded Stanton, before they traded Ozuna, and before they traded Gordon. And we were talking about Dan Straley, and he seemed to think that Dan Straley was somebody that was draftable. And I was saying, I'll stay away. He's a streaming option. I even put a poll on Twitter, and the poll came back 50-50. I had some people telling me that they draft Straley at the back end of the draft, whatever it is. I mean, 2016, he was pretty good. He had a 3.70 ERA, but his FIP was a 4.88. He has over 180 innings pitched the last 2 years. Just last year's ERA is a little high, 4.3. His Ks per nine wasn't too bad at 8.4. Would you consider him a streamer, or would you consider drafting him in the late rounds?
I would consider drafting him more in the late rounds, only for the fact that I'm kind of a strikeout whore in some ways, and that I like pitching more than I like hitting, because I think that because of how baseball is nowadays, especially with the DL, there's going to be so much need for pitching at certain times during the year that if you're able to acquire someone who is a durable pitcher, who can get strikeouts and who has shown the ability to have decent ERAs or decent whips, that's someone that you're going to want to try to acquire. So I would be more willing to hold on to Straley and draft him at the end of the year rather than stream him. But at the same point in time, it also depends on the league size. As I said, I play more deeper leagues, so in those type of leagues, you're more likely to take Straley. In a 10 or 12 team league, he may end up not getting drafted because of the fact that there's other players around his area that are better than him.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, he's right on the border for me. Maybe after a little bit more research, watching tape or whatever, I'll make a decision. But he's still 50-50 for me.
Is he the best pitcher on the staff right now, or do you think that like a Jose Urena or an Adam Connolly or someone who could have more fantasy relevance than him?
I may be in the minority. As far as stuff goes, I'm going to take Conley. As far as composure and knowing what they're doing up there, I think Straley. Straley could still even be the best fantasy option out of the three. I think Arena's the worst out of the three. I know his ERA, I'm sure we'll get to it, but his ERA was a 3.8 and his FIP was a 5.2, which is so insane. And somebody in the Friends with Fantasy Benefits chat said that Lance Lynn was the only person to have a bigger discrepancy between FIP and ERA, and it was by 0.01. So Arena's 3.8 is really not going to be a 3.8 ever again. But Conley's interesting because in 2016 he had a 3.8 with an 8.4 Ks per nine. In 2015 he had a 3.7. I don't know what happened last year. Maybe he's pitching through injury, but he stopped striking guys out and his ERA skyrocketed to six. But I'd take him. I'll give him another chance before I put all my chips into Arena a lot earlier in the draft.
Are you at all worried about Conley's propensity to have high whips? Does that bother you in any way, especially given how bad this team could be and how bad their defense could be, given the fact that they don't have natural outfielders playing outfield and they have a super young left side infield?
I'm not saying I'm gonna go out of my way to get Conley, but if I was sitting there and for some reason somebody picked Urena or I was thinking about picking Urena, I would wait on Conley. Like you said, with the whips, I'll take that exchange for the strikeouts if he's striking out as many guys as he was the last two seasons. Like I said, he's probably pitching through some sort of injury this past year because these numbers, he's never did this bad in his life, not in the minors, not in the majors. So I'll take the bad whip for the strikeouts if I was necessarily in a position where I needed to get somebody like Adam Conley. But the whip is definitely a red flag.
How deep of a league do you need to try to go and draft someone like a Jose Urena or an Adam Conley? Is it a 14-team league, or is it 12, or is it bigger than either of those?
12, no, 14 Urena would get drafted, not by me, but I could see people drafting him in a 14, maybe a little bigger to throw Conley in the mix, at least in a draft. Maybe later in the year when Conley's throwing bullets and has a 8.5 Ks per nine, somebody will pick him up. But I think over 14 for Conley.
Okay. Do you think there's any fantasy relevance this year with Dylan Peters or Wei-Yun Chen?
No. To be honest with you, no, I'm cold on both of these guys. I mean, Peters had a good minor league career. He was very good in Double A before he got called up, but he's struggled in the big leagues mightily. And Chen, the guy can't stay healthy. I'm not putting my chips in the hat for Chen. It's not worth it.
I think if Chen can stay healthy, he could have some fantasy relevance in 16-team leagues or deeper. And the fact that you're going to probably only get like 10 to 20 starts somewhere in that range from him this year, which isn't going to be a ton, but in a deep league that could have a deepish bench, you may be able to get some fantasy relevance from him because when he is in, he'll get you average K numbers. He'll have low WHIP and ERA numbers are low-ish compared to the rest of the players on his staff, so he could be somewhat fantasy relevant. The problem is because of all the injuries that he has had, you don't know exactly how much you're going to get out of him. They could easily use him out of the bullpen for all we know for some of the season. But Dylan Peters, I like the fact that he gets Ks, but he just walks too many people. If he's able to rein that in, that's going to significantly bring down that WHIP, which will probably bring down the ERA in turn, but I don't see a lot of fantasy relevance from him this year either.
Yeah, and Chen was good with Baltimore. He was really good with Baltimore as far as major league wise goes. Maybe not so much fantasy wise until 2015. He had like a 3.3, but his time in Miami has been pretty brutal, and I'm gonna stay away.
Yeah, I mean, even when he was pitching in 2016, when he had 123rd and a third innings, he still had 100 strikeouts, but his ERA was 4.96 and his WHIP was 1.28. I mean, on this Miami team, those could actually be decent numbers, which is kind of a sad thing. So,
Yeah, we definitely got the best team to talk about here.
why don't we talk a little bit about the bullpen? Talking about Kyle Bearcaw, Brad Ziegler, and Drew.
Steckenrider.
Yeah, I don't know why I couldn't. I'm staring at it, couldn't pronounce it, so that's a good job by me. Of these three, who do you think has the most fantasy relevance this year?
think Bear Claw will be the closer to start the year, and proceed with your own caution because it kind of reminds me. I mean, they're not throwing from the same angle and they're not throwing the same stuff, but similar stat-wise. When AJ Ramos was there, he was either striking you out or walking you, and that's what Bear Claw does. I mean, a 4 walks per 9 is considered pretty awful, and his was a 5.2. I mean, he had 38 walks in 66 innings. But his ERA was only a 3, and his Ks per 9 was a 10.4. And I owned him in a couple leagues, and watching him, he would load the bases and then get out of it, load the bases and then get out of it, one of those like Betances type of things. But personally, I like Steckenrider a lot, and he walks a lot of guys too. I mean, don't get me wrong, his walks per 9 last year was a 4.7, but his Ks per 9 was a 14, and his ERA was a 2.3. And in Triple A, his numbers were great too. He had 11.9 Ks per 9 in Triple A. I'm actually pretty up on Steckenrider. Maybe the only guy in this whole pitching staff that I'm up on. What about you?
I like Steckenrider. I think he's going to be the most fantasy relevant player that they have this year. I can't see Bear Claw holding that closer role with those walk numbers, but then again, they did keep it in AJ Ramos's arm all those years, and he walks a ton of people, just like you were saying. I don't think Brad Ziegler is going to have a lot of fantasy relevance, but I mean, if he does get the closer job to start the year, you'll still draft him in certain leagues because you'll get cheap saves out of him. You may not get a ton, but people drafted Jim Johnson last year thinking that the Braves were going to be terrible, and he still got you a decent amount of saves until, the wheels fell off. But at least then, even if you got 10 saves, that's still 10 saves in a roto season that can be helpful.
Yeah, and Ziegler's fantasy value will certainly depend solely on if he's named the closer at the start of the season, because if he's not, he's not going to have fantasy value. He's better off for himself being a middle reliever or a setup man, because that's really where he fits. He doesn't have the stuff to be a closer. He doesn't strike anybody out. His Ks per 9 is a 5.
Exactly. So, is there any other fantasy relevance from the pitching side of things for you, Mike?
None. Jarlin Garcia, Brian Ellington, Tozawa, none of these guys. They lost Tom Kohler, Edison Velasquez had Tommy John, Despaigne, nothing. No, I got nothing. You?
No, I don't see a lot of fantasy relevance from anyone else here. Unfortunately, Nick Niedert may be someone who comes up this year, or Sandy Alcantara. Those are two players that it would be nice to see what happens with them, just because I think Alcantara has some strikeout capabilities. I thought he could be a decent starter. We'll see if he's able to get the walk under control and have a better season than he did last year. I think if he does, I think he could make their rotation, considering how bad that rotation is. So.
Well, the thing with Alcantara, I mean, they got him in the Ozuna deal. He's only 22, but he hasn't pitched in AAA yet, so I don't think he's going to make the club right out of spring training. But he throws 100 from the right side, and I don't see a better guy. This relief pitching is pretty weak. I could see them developing him into a closer. And then they got their other young pitcher, Jorge Guzman, who kind of similar to Alcantara, and his fastball had a 80 scouting grade. He's another guy I think could be converted into a relief pitcher. So maybe in a couple of years, they could get that back into the bullpen lockdown. We'll see what they decide. I'm curious to see what they decide to do with those two guys, whether they keep letting them start or we'll see. But other than that, Braxton Garrett had his Tommy John, and everyone else, Tyler Colick had Tommy John in 2016. These guys are a long way away from competing or doing anything good.
Yeah, that's exactly how I see it. All right, Mike, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what else you're working on?
So you could follow me on Twitter, like I said, at Mike the Rotocop. You could check out my blog. My blog is in the info of my Twitter. And you could check out fantasyassembly.com. I do a bunch of stuff on there, and I'm looking forward to doing a lot of stuff in the future with you guys over here at Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Are you working on any articles over at Friends with Fantasy Benefits?
When the season starts, I will be. For now, I'm just sticking to the podcast, and I'll throw out an article every once in a while on my blog. I just had Daniel Mengden from the Oakland Athletics on my podcast last week. If you listeners want to go check that out, he's actually a really cool dude. I hope nothing but the best for him.
Well, we look forward to see more content from you. And you can reach me, or you can find me on Twitter at bbrandsfwfb. You can find me, Mike, and Evan Peterson on the Wednesday show for baseball during the regular season. You can also find me on the basketball podcast, joined by Eric Mackey. I will be doing some preseason content for baseball in regards to draft strategies for head-to-heads and points league and a couple of positions as well. So, from the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great baseball offseason, everyone.